Hello, I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County, and your host for Education Conversations, a discussion forum to share innovative and relevant thoughts, research, and ideas on education today, and to explore ways to help prepare students to thrive. Welcome to this episode of Education Conversations, Building Resilient Students. Schools play an outside role in the well-being of students, from teachers, counselors, administrators, to all the support staff who interact with students and keep schools running smoothly. It's a collective effort indeed, and to ensure that young people thrive socially and academically in a world that every day seems to grow less certain. Amid the current mental health crisis affecting students at all grade levels, in 2022, the Florida Department of Education focused on building resiliency, and in 2023, it has provided a resiliency toolkit that promotes classroom instruction of traits and skills like perseverance, critical thinking, and empathy. And so today we're going to kind of dive into that a little bit more, and I'm excited to have the best person, I think, to help us explore resiliency, relationships, and students' well-being, and that is Deb Jackalone, the Executive Director of Student Services for Sarasota County Schools. And Deb brings a wealth of experience in education and mental health services to her work, guiding the support services for over 45,000 students across the district, a big undertaking indeed. She received her undergraduate degree at Virginia Tech University, where she studied education with the plans to become a classroom teacher. However, after earning a master's degree at Radford University in special education, she began serving at-risk youth, and she has never looked back, with a guiding belief in the power of relationships to make a difference. Deb has worked for years in special education and has served as a dean of students and an assistant principal before becoming the director, executive director of student services. So Deb, welcome to Education Conversations. I'm so glad you could be with us today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great to have you and really dive into some of this important work. And I want to learn a little bit more. I think our listeners would love to hear a little bit more about you personally, and then really how that has kind of driven your work in the professional realm as well. So I want to start off first with, I learned that your interest in education stems in part from playing teacher with your twin sisters. I didn't even you had twin sisters. That was such an aha for me.
Yep.
So, how would you say your formative years shaped your views on relationships and the role that teachers and counselors play in the lives of students?
Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah, some of my best days were playing teacher with my two little sisters. That's kind of how I got my passion. And I realized at that time that teachers were somebody that people looked up to. Whenever I played teacher with my sisters, they were like, wow, we'll do whatever you want us to do. I could get them to line up. I could get them to use the blue crayon or the green crayon. So it was a really fun time. And I realized that as I got older and realized how important relationships were, that, hey, you really have the potential to shape a future for somebody. And it's such an important role to take on. And it's something that I really believe has the power to create opportunities for people and really change the course of somebody's life for the better.
That is wonderful. And so you started off kind of thinking, you know, and modeling the classroom teacher behavior. And then yet when you were in college, you kind of took a little bit of a detour, somewhat detour, but you really went into, you know, supporting in mental health services. So what have you learned and discovered by going down that path for your career?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that I realized is that relationships are vital to anybody, and to how we form those relationships with one another really is the center stone of education. It's the center stone of well-being. I have this little philosophy I tell everybody, you already know how to form a relationship because it's in your core. And you know, in education, we always play with acronyms. Mm-hmm. So core to me is the ability to connect with others, the ability to like make observations, reaching out. In Sarasota, we have probably the best community I've ever been a part of. It's so rich in resources and supports, and there's so many people that want to jump in and help. So if you don't have the answer, there's somebody out there that does. Mm-hmm. And then E is empower and educate. Keep empowering other people to like be their best and educate yourself, learn more every step of the way. So it's really like at the core, and mm-hmm. everybody has the ability to do these things.
That's so wonderful. You speak often about the power of the relationships. How do you see that tied and connected to the well-being of students?
I feel like everybody needs somebody. And if you have somebody, that is the center stone of, or the cornerstone of being able to grow and succeed, whatever that path is, or wherever you want to go in your life, that relationship has to be there.
And if you're overseeing as the executive director of student services, you probably see the full spectrum of students that have strong relationships and mentors, parent relationships, whatever the case may be, some significant adult person in their life helping to shape and form and guide them, you probably also see the absence of. And so I'm just kind of curious to hear from you, what are some of the manifestations or ramifications of when you don't see the power of adult relationships in kids' lives?
And there's tons of great research on this, but just talking from like a humanistic approach, and what I actually see is isolation, lack of belonging, kids not wanting to come to school, kids not reaching their full potential, not being the best version of yourself, not knowing about the opportunities that exist out there. I am just a very strong believer that everybody has to have somebody. And I believe as educators, it's our responsibility to make sure that we help form those connections and relationships early on for every student.
That's very appropriate to say that. And as we've been also seeing a lot of changes in the students' well-being or lack thereof, their struggles have certainly become a little bit more visible. What have you seen over the last 5 to 10 years that most concerns you? What steps is even the school district doing to help address some of those challenges?
Okay, so that's a big question.
Yeah,
and
it is.
It's a really important question. You know, over the last 5 to 10 years, I think that we've experienced things in this country that we have never experienced, or many people in our, you know, age range have never experienced before. We went through a global pandemic. Mm-hmm. That was huge. It totally changed the course of many people's lives. And for a period of time, it changed our routines and what we considered typical. Also, the impact that that had on families. So not only on our students, but the people who take care of our students, the people who feed our kids every day and get them to school when families are struggling, you know, to get work or to get to work or trying to do your work with kids at home. It was a very difficult thing. So the impact on the family has been huge. But what I love about being an educator in Florida is that I really feel like we now have the opportunity to do the things that our team really does best, and that's focus on prevention and intervention, because we know that we are able to prevent a lot of things from escalating to a level where it becomes a crisis situation, mm-hmm. or you need extensive help outside of the school setting.
So that's actually saying your team is poised to not only be reactive, providing the interventions, but you're also poised to be proactive in helping to just completely mitigate and prevent any of these things from taking shape. Is that
what? 100%.
Yeah. So let's tie that into the Florida Department of Education. And as they, you know, they're still developing the resiliency toolkit. We're eagerly awaiting for it to be, you know, published. I know they put a whole lot of work and time into it, and they've had their own collaborations and partnerships with the Mental Health Collaborative that's helping to guide some of that
right.
work. We've identified kind of 14 resiliency traits that are kind of being embedded both in classroom instruction and then through some community initiatives. I know the Education Foundation is certainly involved in some of the things. What can you share about this initiative and the role the district has in implementing these resiliency traits? And are you hopeful for the direction that it's moving into?
I am. I'm very hopeful. And I love what you said about the resiliency toolkit. The DOE is putting together a fabulous toolkit. And every day we're noticing more and more resources are being added to that toolkit, which is great to have resources that are aligned to the standards that can be implemented in our classrooms for our students. I'm also really excited about the resiliency standards that have been released. And we now know that these things are really important to teach to our students, and there's a standard of excellence for teaching those standards. So we're excited about that. We're doing a lot of work with resiliency. We had a team come together this summer who worked on creating some lessons that were aligned to those standards. And now we're actually seeing the fruits of our labor. We're putting those standards into practice in our classrooms for our students.
That's terrific. Can you give me an example of like one standard that your team helped to work on? It's an an identified trait? And then how is it showing up in the classroom?
Well, we're doing some work right now with just like grit. And we think that grit is really important for everybody's success. Things don't come easy all the time. And knowing how to kind of persevere through those situations that are tough and challenging and giving students that, I mean, that's a life skill. That's mm-hmm. something everybody needs to be successful. Because at some point in your personal life, your professional life, your educational life, you're going to have to display grit. And that's what I like about the resiliency standards. They all align to skills that we need to be successful.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And there could, you know, and our listeners, I hope that there are also students out there listening. And sometimes there's a disconnect from when we speak about as educators, we speak about the standards and the traits and we say these things. Can you kind of put that into like, why does that matter to a kid? If there's a student listening today, and again, you know, why would they need to have and develop grit? How will that serve them for the rest of their life?
I hope our students are out there. So if you are, hello, and thank you for listening. They've provided us a lot of feedback on things that they want to see from these standards. There's a group of students that give us their feedback, and we try to take that feedback and really meet their needs. Why do you need grit? Because things are going to get tough. And you need to be able to have that skill set to know that when the going gets tough, you have the resources to get through it and to be successful. I think that's going to help you as you strive to go to college, or if college isn't your thing and you want to go to trade school, you're going to need to, you know, be able to persevere through that. Even on the job, there's situations every day that we run into that don't go exactly as planned, but just having that skill set to be able to pivot and make it through, it's gonna help you in the long run.
Oh, I appreciate you speaking directly to the students, because again, this is the center of why we do all the work, and I think
it's our why.
Exactly. And I know just from the bit that I've seen and learned about you personally, I know that you really care deeply about students, and so I just love hearing you give voice directly to them as to why it's so important and so valuable. I want to just maybe turn a little bit to asking your opinion on how do you see the Education Foundation helping to build resilience and well-being in students too? Because you've been a big part and your team has been a big part. You all are working through building resiliency through classroom instruction and what does it look like in the school day? And then we're sitting here as a, you know, great partner of you all's, but kind of working through the community to help enable and pull resources together. So how do you see that as being part of the equation of helping to lift up students to build resiliency?
I love that question because, you know, there's an old saying in education that it takes a village. Mm. And I think the more partners that you have, and the Ed Foundation's an amazing partner. I love the resiliency coaches that we have at three of our high schools and the impact that they're making on our students. Just really being able to connect and help them identify resources and working with their families. I think that's an incredible asset. I love the ability that you all have to help us create an awareness of what resources are out there in our community. And I firmly believe that whatever you need, Sarasota County has it for you. There is no individual that can't find what they need right here in our community. And if we don't have it, you all have been great partners in helping us create it or find it.
Yeah, I think you're so right that Sarasota County is a very unique community in that it is rich in resources, and yet oftentimes there is the tale of two cities, because we know kids are out there struggling, but it's connecting them to the resources that are there. And I think we do have a bevy of people in our community who care deeply about doing, you know, working alongside us in this work. So you also are a fantastic partner to be aligned with.
I love that, Jennifer, what you were just saying, because the resources are there, and I think one of our roles is educating our families, our parents, our students, and our staff on what is actually available out there and then how to access those things. Mm-hmm. So the more we can educate and the more we can create an awareness of those resources, the better our students and our staff and our families can thrive in our community.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So taking this on a different angle, where else are you seeing positive developments today in schools? You know, as we talked about earlier, it can certainly feel uncertain and challenging for many students, but I'm always struck by, honestly, your positive, constructive attitude. You are a ray of light always, every day. And anybody who's ever met Deb would probably attest to that and your abiding belief in the power of relationships. So what other positive things are you seeing?
I am seeing silos being broken down every single day. And I think that's a really unique thing in education. I come from the old school education. You know, I was a teacher in the early 90s, and you would go into your classroom, you'd close the door, and you might not see anybody other than your students all day. And I think just those silos being broken down and the ability to collaborate, it's really powerful. That what I'm seeing right now is that it's not just your students, it's our student. So everybody in those buildings really owning those students and collaborating, using people's strengths to really work together. You might have something that I don't, but what you have may benefit a student that's in my classroom. So reaching out and just collaborating. And then I'm really excited about some of the innovative technology that's coming forward and how we can embed some of those things in our classrooms and in our school communities. I'm just learning, but I'm excited about the way that we can innovate for the future.
I think that's so great. When you first started out, did you think that you would be where you would be today, but where kids are today and where education has moved? Would you have forecasted such a thing?
No.
Yeah.
Not in a million years. I never knew. I guess maybe I was naive, or maybe I came from a place where I didn't have all of the experience that I have today. But I realized that education really is finding ways to bring out the best in everybody. And that's a really powerful thing when you sit down and you think about, hey, I have the power to make somebody a better person, or I have the power to create an opportunity for somebody to foster their success. So yeah, it's an exciting time for education.
Yeah, I agree. And to see the power in children's lives come alive is really inspiring indeed. When you see that light turn on, and when you see the grit take flight, and when you see the barriers overcome, and when you see them reach the potential that, again, almost like the parent-child relationship, you know, when you see, you have so much hope for the child, but when you see that play out. So I just really appreciate the work that you and your team put together, because it is hard work. Because again, we didn't really touch very much in today's conversation about the full spectrum of all the students that you serve. We just kind of, you know, lightly touched on that. But you all are tasked with an enormous responsibility of really looking at all of those 45,000 students and figuring out which services and supports they need. And I just want to thank you and your team for all of your incredible dedication and hard work.
Well, thank you guys. And thank you for always being a partner for us and helping bolster the success of our students and our team. So thank you.
Yeah. And then to the listeners who are, you know, listening in today and leaning into this conversation, you know, we have continued, and we will probably have a couple more podcasts speaking about resiliency, because again, there is definitely a lot of kids in our community who are struggling. There are certainly resources, as Deb mentioned, in surplus out there available. And we want to do everything possible to make sure that our students have the access and the opportunity to reach their full potential through all of these different resources. So if you want to learn more about the school district and the work and the resources that they have available, you can definitely check it out on sarasotacountyschools.net. And certainly if you want to learn more about the Education Foundation and our resources that we have for students and teachers, you can visit us at edfoundationsrq.org. And we definitely hope that you guys will lean in and get involved, because our students certainly deserve the very best. So everyone, thank you so much. And thank you again, Deb. Really appreciate you being a part of this podcast, but definitely value the partnership that we have together, and really appreciate you all listening. And be sure to tune in to other episodes of Education Conversations. For now, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.